when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you very precious Blood River Radio supporters and Blood River Radio listening family out there. I'd like to welcome you to yet another broadcast of Blood River Radio. And I'm so glad you tuned in. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and we are syndicated proudly all over creation by Liberty News Radio, Sam Bushman, Jay, and Lizzie, and the whole crew. I would like to really sincerely welcome you here. Hopefully, we're going to have a great program today. We never call Blood River Radio a show because we don't say it's a show. It's kind of like old Radio Free Europe used to be back in the 50s when I was a kid. That's what we do. We try to alert people to the worldwide campaign of genocide against white people, and we try to fire them up and to get them to do something about it, them being our fellow family members. And we're going to have an example tonight from a stalwart of Blood River Radio that hopefully it will fire you up and maybe get you to maybe fire you up once you get you in the street. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, today is the 15th of November. Can't believe it's that month halfway gone. In the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Almighty God, there is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. That's it. It's a Jesus Christ plus nothing, either you believe it or you don't. And if you don't believe it, I hope you can pray and have Christ to come into you sometimes, because it's the only thing that saved my sorry butt. I'm telling you, I would have given up many times without that. So this is a Christian radio program, folks. That's the point I'm trying to make. So, as you know, with the drill, if you will, we bow your head. I'm going to say just a simple but yet sincere prayer. Almighty Father, God who created all that is known, all that is seen, all that is unseen, all that is unknown. Like we said here many times, God, you created the periodic table of elements just by speaking it into being. Elements that we know of and elements that we don't know we know of yet, that have yet to be discovered, may never be discovered, but they are there just the same. Lord, you are the Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who later became Israel. You are the God of Eddie Miller, Blood River Radio, Liberty News Radio, and all of our people. You control everything. And Lord, my prayer, I'm sure you know it by heart. I'm sure our other family members probably know it by heart, but it's just going to be real simple. If you will, get some guts, plant some guts into the white men in Christendom, in formerly white Europe, formerly white, as our brother Ron, Paul Fromm says, the once great white North, and also in the once white United States. Put some guts in our people, Lord, and let us get in the street and let us do your will. Let us fight for you, for your glory, God, because that's what it's going to take. There's only one way, one solution, Lord. You know it, and I know it. So if you will, Lord, give us some guts to our people. They don't need the scales knocked off their eyes. If they can't see what's going on by now, they're going to be useless to us because they're too stupid to know, to realize that they're just too dumb to be of any kind of use for us. Anyway, I'd ask you, Lord, to bless this radio program, bless my family, a blood family, spirit family, friends. Bless us all, Lord, and let us fight. Let us fight. Let us never, ever cease to ride to the gunfire. Let us always ride to the sound of the gunfire with our bayonet in our hand, ready to do battle for you, O Lord. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People, as you know, after the prayer, we always go to our donors, and which we could not do this program without. And we have two stalwarts that are like clockwork. We have the one and only Miss Buddy. She'll always be Miss Buddy to me as long as I live. Her dear, dear husband, my dear, dear elder brother, Mr. Buddy Kirtland, passed away. It was a year ago this past April. And back, Gene Andrews and I, we were the only non-family members over there, except for the Mennonites who buried Mr. Buddy. He wasn't a Mennonite, but they loved him. Just like everybody I know loved Mr. Buddy. But anyway, we were so honored. We were the only two people to go over there that were invited, and I'll never forget that. Anyway, she is a stalwart donor, and so is Big Ben. Big Ben of Lynbrook, New York, like clockwork. People like that, that's who keeps us on the air. And that's about it. Now I'm going to go to a quick outline. I'm really excited tonight. We have my little sister, Miss Braveheart, Monica Schaefer. And if you wonder why I call her, you don't have to wonder why I call her Braveheart. If you've ever seen the movie Braveheart, if you haven't seen it, you need to go see it. And when you see that, you'll know why I named my little sister, Monica Schaefer, Braveheart, because she has been there. She's done it. She's been thrown into the gulag. And like my show notes, I said, like brother, like sister. Dear brother Alfred is still back in prison. We'll talk about that later. And she's going to be on with me the first hour. And let's see, here's the rest of the outline. We're going to have Don Wassel and Paul Fromm coming on hour two. And they're going to do their thing. I'll just put it on cruise control because with those two on, they have more knowledge in their little finger than most people do in their whole head, including me. And the third hour is going to be the hellfire and brimstone, white hot lava dropping the napalm. Normally I like to put that brand on Blood River Radio the first hour because we are warriors, flat out warriors. We are not peaceniks. We're not intellectuals. Just wasn't created that way. So that's what we're going to do. Third hour, if you like napalm, if you like solutions, just white hot lava solutions, you won't tune in the third hour. But we have every single hour here. Now we're going to make this short, make this quick. Everybody on this comes on this program. God bless them. They know the platform for Blood River Radio, and they're hooked at the horns. We're equally yoked. And they know. Everybody that comes to this program knows that the white race is an incredible danger. We're on a precipice. I can't pronounce that word. But anyway, I'm having trouble with my ears again, as usual. But anyway, we are right there on the edge of going into genocide, being to extinction. So anyway, and everybody comes on this program knows that. And speaking of everybody coming on this program, but she is the one and only my little sister, Monica Braveheart Schaefer. It's so good to have you on tonight, Sister Monica.
Thank you. Whoops. Isn't that good timing? I'll just yank that telephone out. That's funny what timing that is, eh? Make a grand entrance here and that loud old telephone rings. Anyway, I yanked that, so we're good to go. But thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for your prayer. Very appropriate. We have our backs against the wall, Eddie, the white race or the Aryan race. I like to use that word too. So we have lots to talk about. Sometimes I just have this real nudging feeling. I got to go out and do something out on the streets. Because it's very important what we're doing online to try to wake our people up so that they can make better decisions and so that they are aware. I mean, really, that is very important. But I just get this feeling sometimes I have to go do something on the ground in the real world. And I was presented with a golden opportunity last week. And I know we're coming up to the break soon, but so I would probably just barely get started. But I found out the day before this big gathering that was going to be taking place, I found out literally the day before that we were getting people like Native Indians, so the Aboriginal Indians from all over this province were coming to our little town. They had booked the community hall to have their event there. And, you know, nobody in town really knew about it unless perhaps they were one of the hotel owners or whatever, where they had booked rooms. I mean, most of the hotel owners now, that's just East Indians. So isn't that interesting? East Indians serving the Native Indians here in the hotels. But anyway, I'll tell you after the break about that. We'll also give an update about Alfred.
Yes, and our listening family will be hanging on edge waiting to see that. Thank you so much. Be right back, folks.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, this is a quick aside, and this has to do with my dear sister Monica. As I was sitting in my 6 hours waiting on the doctor yesterday, I did my show notes and show plans on my phone. Well, wouldn't you know, I hit the wrong button, so I had to completely redo them today. And I put in there, this has a direct bearing on what Sister Monica was getting ready to tell you. If you look, go back all the way back to day one on Blood River Radio's website, I wrote in there, we believe that real radio hosts should not sit on their butt behind the microphone 24/7. In order to be truly effective, if we want to encourage people to get out in the street, to get in the halls of Congress, in the halls of church, visit your local federal building or whatever, you should get off your ass and do that. And I'll have to admit, I don't do it as much as I once did. But Sister Monica took that to heart, and she's getting ready to tell you a story. I can't wait for you people to hear about it. So anyway, well, that's, I'd just like to know. So Sister Monica is doing what Blood River Radio said a long time ago, and she didn't just write it and say it. She did it. So go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Well, that said, I'm glad that I didn't have too much time in advance to think about it, because I might have chickened out, or somebody might have talked me out of it, like of my friends, people who are awake, you know, and know what's going on. And all, you know, when you have too much time to mull it over. Oh, what can happen and this and that. And you know, you might chicken out, but at that, and I have no regrets that I did it, you see. So that's kind of like back in 2016, if I had had a crystal ball about doing my little video, and if I had seen in that crystal ball that, gee, all the things that would happen to me, I may have chickened out. But I have no regrets about that either. But not that this was anything near the size of that, and just it, no. But okay, so what I did is I needed to just put a message out there. So I very quickly put together a sign, you know, just one of those picket signs, I guess, and on cardboard. And one side said, no reconciliation without truth. And the other side said, unmarked graves, ? Evidence, please, ! Now, I have to give background to both of those because your American listeners, our American listeners, might not know about this Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Now, you probably all have heard about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that took place in South Africa, and that was years prior. But in Canada, they called this 6 or 7 year long process the same name, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. What was put, you know, that was done to get testimonies from thousands of natives and anybody and everybody who might have been associated with the Indian residential schools. And so people that had something to do with the native, you know, the Aboriginal Indians of Canada, and in particular to do with the residential schools. So they spent years going crisscrossing across, you know, north, south, east, west, everywhere in Canada, gathered thousands of testimonies, and then they put together this report, and then they made a summary of the report, and they put that out, and in the summary, they only put out the, like, oh, these are terrible places type of stuff. They summarized very, very, very biased, and of course, the summary is what went out to the mainstream media. And then shortly after that was put out, May 27th, 2021, the Kamloops band, the Indian band, came out with this announcement that 215 unmarked graves had been discovered on the lands of the Indian residential school in Kamloops, the former Indian residential school. Okay, so it's not any longer, there are no Indian residential schools anymore now. Okay, anyway, they put this announcement out and there were all kinds of repercussions immediately. The flags across the country went down to half mast, stayed at half mast longer than ever in peacetime history in Canada. I think something like half a year. And about 100 churches were burnt down or seriously vandalized in that first year after that announcement. And our then Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said, well, it's understandable. Basically, with those words, he was giving them a carte blanche, and that's just fine and dandy that you can burn down churches. You see, because these Indian residential schools were mostly run by churches, okay? And what else happened? All kinds of repercussions happened after that announcement. And the band there was given $12.1 million, which was earmarked for an investigation of those graves. How did they discover these 215 unmarked graves? They used ground-penetrating radar, which looks something like, a lawnmower, a machine that is just going on the surface of the ground, right? Now, this is what, 4.5 years later, Eddie, have they dug a single, even, a toy truck full of dirt out of the ground? No, They have not. What have they actually done with that money? Well, it's irrelevant what they've done with that money. I don't really care about that. What I care about is that they continue the lie, and they have escalated the lie to the point that we could soon go to jail for asking for evidence, just like you can go to jail for questioning the 6 million gas victims of World War II, you know, Germany. Okay, so the same tactics. Oh, but we don't want to disturb the, you know, it would disturb the spirits. We would rather do ceremony to guide the spirits of these children home. And what, you don't believe us? You're telling us that all our elders and our, you know, our grandparents or our parents, or they're liars. They're liars. Are you saying that they're liars? And they will scream this in your face, which is what I experienced, actually. This is not just metaphorical or theoretical, what I'm telling you. So my little peaceful protest with those two messages, four words on each side of the sign, no reconciliation without truth. And on the other side, unmarked graves, evidence, please. Okay, so that's, you would think, Eddie, that nobody with three functioning brain cells would take issue with, first of all, this no reconciliation without truth. Like, can you have reconciliation without truth? Can you? Like, reconciliation implies that two sides come together in agreement on, you know, they work out their grievances and their differences, two sides, not one side commandeering the other with a bunch of lies. So you do need to have truth behind that type of a process, right? Okay, so that's the one. And then this unmarked graves thing, why have they not dug? Well, I know why they haven't dug. It's not because they don't want to disturb the spirits. It's because they know that they are not going to find anything other than perhaps old septic lines, because at one point this was a septic field, or you know, septic lines went through there. At another point in time, it was the apple orchard. It was not a cemetery. And you know, one of the pushback messages to me was, oh, how would you like it if we just went and did some grave robbing in your local cemetery? I say, that's not an applicable analogy, because nobody ever has said that you will not find bones in a cemetery. What do you think Absolutely. Of that, Eddie? You think there might be bones in a cemetery? I don't know. Is that a cause for concern if you There's find slight, bones in a cemetery?
A slight possibility there. But you just caught hell. And by the way, if people, I was looking at your photograph on here right now in the article. If anybody would like to go read about this, you could, well, I'll let you tell. You can tell better, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to give a pause so that you could interject, but I'm not done with telling the story because it did. Yes. And Eddie's right. If you go to freespeechmonica.com, and it's with a K, right? freespeechmonica.com. The first article you will encounter, that is my write-up about the event, and a little bit extra in there with some sidebars and links also. But, you know, just to read the article would probably take 5 minutes or whatever. And the article is entitled No Reconciliation Without Truth. Okay, it started out really nicely. I drove my car to this community center where this event was being held, and I had no idea what to expect. I thought maybe nobody would be outside, maybe they'd all be inside, and I would have to maybe just come back. But I did see some people wandering back and, you know, between the Legion across the street and the community center, because they were having some kind of events in both places. So there was a little bit of activity outside. I decided, okay, go for it, Monica. I got my sign out of the car, and I just ambled on the sidewalk. I was sure to stay on public property, not go on to the even just the grass of the community center. I needed to stay on sidewalk, which I did, and it started out beautifully. There were some children who waved at me. I waved back and smiled, and that was really nice. And I do hear the music. I'll carry on after the break.
That was the key word. It started out nicely. Started. Be right back, folks.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. How is the U.S. economy doing? Now that the government shutdown is over, Americans are looking forward to some reliable statistics. Bill Alexander reports.
The Labor Department will release its numbers on September hiring and unemployment next Thursday, a month and a half late, marking the beginning of the end of the data drought caused by the 43-day federal government shutdown. The statistical blackout meant that the Federal Reserve, businesses, policymakers, and investors have largely been in the dark about inflation, job creation, GDP growth, and other measures of the U.S. economic health since late summer.
The Trump administration has announced trade frameworks with four Central and South American countries.
The White House says it has come to terms with Argentina, Ecuador, El Salvador, and Guatemala. The trade frameworks are aimed at boosting the ability of American companies to sell industrial and agricultural products in those countries. The deals haven't been finalized, but are expected to be signed within about 2 weeks.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston reporting. The 59-year-old CEO of Walmart, Doug McMillon, is stepping down.
McMillon plans to step down on January 31st, 2026. His successor, John Furner, the head of Walmart's U.S. operations, will take over the very next day. Walmart shares fell 3% immediately in pre-market trading after the news of the unexpected leadership change. Unlike Amazon's Jeff Bezos and Tesla's Elon Musk, McMillon isn't a household name, but he's played a key role in the U.S. economy. Walmart's performance is a barometer of consumer spending given its size. The company maintains that more than 150 million customers shop on its website or in its stores every week. I'm Haya Punjwani.
Three Red Cross emergency shelters in L.A. County are open this weekend for people under evacuation orders as a powerful storm is fixing to slam into Southern California. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, life moves fast. Staying sharp, focused, and clear-headed isn't always easy. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor has developed something brand new, Think Factor. Think Factor is made to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that unlocks mental clarity and precision, nurtures your memory, boosts your attention. With Think Factor, brain power and performance finally meet for lasting daily results. Supercharge your memory, mental sharpness. Your brain is your most valuable asset, powering your creativity, focus, and daily performance. If you're feeling mentally foggy, give it a try. After a couple of weeks of taking Think Factor, it was a game changer for me. Look, the longer you take Think Factor, the better it works for you. If you've ever thought you want to be more clear, more focused, call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to learn more and order Think Factor. Your first bottle is just $19.95. Think Factor. Think clearer, perform better daily. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit relieffactor.com for Think Factor.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep, and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm really enjoying this. I cannot believe how fast this hour goes. Without further delay, we'll go back to Sister Monica. We could do 4 hours on this, but go ahead, Sister Monica.
don't start talking that way.
Oh, well, yeah, I was going to say one more thing. If Sister Monica was a man, she would have gone.
No,
that's
okay.
I won't say that then. Well, anyway, go ahead, Sister Monica. Miss Sister Braveheart.
I don't know what compels me to do these things. I think that, you know, I have a brother who we consider ourselves a sister and brother team. And he, this is Alfred, of course, and he has talked a lot about the multiplier force. It's not just one plus one. It's like a multiplier force. Of course, you can't just say one times one, because that you get one, which is less than one plus one is two. But in terms of just, you know, if you assign a number to any one of us and then multiply it, it's a multiplier force. It's way, way higher. So I have to give credit to, you know, my fighting spirit here, to having this brother who is just, you know, always been, I don't know, what can I say? Like, he's at the forefront of this battle, and he is currently in prison. I might as well talk about that right now, since I'm on this tangent, to talk about him before I go back to my story here with the Native Indians here in my town. But so he was moved, well, I guess by now it's a week and a half ago, from one prison to another. So if you weren't up on that yet and you're wondering what address to use to write to him, again, just go to my website, freespeechmonica.com, go to the political prisoners page, and his current address is there, as well as it's on the truthandjusticeforgermans.com website. So it's on the political prisoners page there. So I might as well use the opportunity to talk
Sister
about
Monica, before
truth.
You leave. Before you leave, Alfred, for our new listeners, just tell them briefly, concisely, why Brother Alfred is in prison.
Well, it's not because he came and, you know, looted and murdered and did bad things on the streets and, you know, no, it's for words. It is for speech. So he is in prison for having the audacity to notice what's going on in the world, to figure it out, to have figured out what's going on in the world, to have figured out who is doing this to us, all the things that are really a destructive force in our society, plus lying to us about our history, and in particular that Holocaust that they accuse the Germans of having gassed 6 million Jews and made lampshades and soap and shrunken heads out of the Jews and all those lies that they told. And so Alfred, this is his fourth prison stint. He lives in Germany. We all grew up in Canada. Our parents were immigrants to Canada in the 1950s, had five children. Alfred is number two in the family. And he, by happenstance, it went back over there to do some traveling, and then he kind of, you know, stayed put in Germany, happily married there. He's been there for decades, you know, since the mid-1980s. And then he was the one who initially woke up about the 9/11 lie 10 years after 9/11. So that's since 2011. And I am the one in the family, the only one in the family that did inquire. I asked him some questions, how do you know this and that? And he obliged by sending me a lot of information. And I dug in, I deep dived, I dove in, Eddie. And then Alfred and I have been a team ever since. And so he's in prison now again for speech. And I can't really go into more detail than that because then we'll run out of time. But that's the there's an article on many articles on my website about Alfred. You could put Alfred's name in the search bar, just put Alfred in, and you'll get various articles from over the years about his case.
You know, Sister Monica, I'll just let our audience know, our listeners, that you too paid the price. You were thrown into the gulag. I'd like our listeners to know that. I won't take any more time than you want to, but I'd like our listeners to know the quality of you on the show, and I'm so grateful you're on here.
I say Jews did that to me. Thank you very much. You know, I mean, yes. It was pretty mild, especially in relation to what Alfred's gone through in his prison stints and the length of time, and also he was in there during the COVID lockdown, the masking mandates. So he ended up 558 days in solitary confinement because he insisted on breathing freely. Imagine that. Imagine that. So I was in there in 2018 for 10 months. And other than the initial shock of it, and the first couple of months were really very hard, I have to say. But once I let go of, you know, all of that, and then just realize, okay, they've got the keys to my physical whereabouts, but they don't have anything else on me. They don't have my mind, my heart, my soul, my spirit. I'm free. And I felt freer, 1,000 times freer than the jail boss once I came to that headspace, you could say. And then after that, it was, you know, it was just fine. I was, the existing there was just fine. I actually lived with joy in the prison there and made some really good friends. And you know, anyway, so that's another story. But yeah, and, you know, Jews, they did that to me. I didn't knock on the door and say, hey, do you have a room, so that then afterwards I have somewhat of a platform, really. Like, why else am I on your show, Eddie? It's because you heard about me because I went to jail and then I came out and I could talk to you and the listeners. And so there you go.
And you tried to expose the greatest lie in history, the Holocaust, the greatest lie in history.
Yes, it is.
I'll say one more thing.
Lynchpin.
Because you said it, you quoted it years ago when you first came out, that the Holocaust is the greatest lie in history. It's the linchpin lie that all other lies hang on. I'm quoting you, Sister Monica. If we could ever, ever expose that lie, ever get our people to wake up and see that lie, that it is a lie, all these other lies would fall apart. And that's I still remember everything you said about that, Sister Monica, but I'm going to shut up. I don't want to take up your time. But
well, Eddie, it is being exposed. We are exposing it, and many people do know by now that it is a lie, way more than you would imagine, because they are still just very afraid to say so publicly. But, you know, in private conversations, oh my goodness, it's falling apart as we speak. And they are seeing who is doing this, and people are noticing, you know, the great noticing. You know, is it going to be enough? Is it too little, too late? I don't know. I don't think so. We're going to win this ultimately. It might get really, you know, a lot uglier before it gets better. But yeah, I mean, we will win this war ultimately. And that's my take on it. But anyway, back to my little story, Eddie. Where was I?
Yeah. I'm sorry I sidetracked you, but I want people to know who you are.
No, it's okay. It's don't apologize. We wanted to talk about Alfred anyway, and so it always leads into some philosophical discussion, I would say. Okay, so I was saying that my little event there on the street, and why I didn't have other people with me, well, because it was so short notice. I mean, I anybody that I asked to come with me that day, you know, of people who are like-minded with me here in this very, very, very small community, they just couldn't on such short notice. They were all busy, and so I was alone. So again, if I had had more time, I might have chickened out. I'm glad I didn't have more time to chicken out. So I went, and it started out beautifully. I observed with my own two eyes a very important thing that day, because the first man, a native guy, an Indian, he saw me and he smiled and he looked at my sign and he smiled some more and he put the thumbs up and he walked towards me, and I was just delighted that he was happy with my message. And I had the, you know, no reconciliation without truth first facing him. And then as he came right up to me, I turned the sign so that he could see the other side, you know, unmarked graves, evidence, please. And his smile was even broader, and his thumbs up were totally enthusiastic. And he said, yeah, yeah. I said, I'm so delighted that you're with me on this message. Like, really, because of course it just makes sense, right? And he says, yeah, 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 of course. And so that was wonderful. And then shortly thereafter, after this beautiful beginning to my little strolling on the sidewalk in front of this community center, this Native man marches over to me, and he didn't have the same demeanor as that the first guy. He marched over very aggressive, very angry looking, and then I have the side facing him again, the one that says no reconciliation without truth. Now, please, anybody tell me if there's any problem with that. I can't figure it out. But he was like fuming mad and saying, what are you doing? What is this? Anyway, so I turned the sign and I just pointed at the sign, you know, we need evidence for an allegation. And anyway, okay, so I hear the music. We'll wrap it up after the break here.
God forbid you would ask them to produce something like evidence. So, anyway, see you back in just a few minutes, folks.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm so excited to have Sister Monica on. Miss Sister Monica, I'm not trying to embarrass her, but she is a stalwart of this program. There's a lot of people that come and go. They get married, they get jobs, they move. But Sister Monica is always here. She has her own program. Hey, Sister Monica, what are y'all going to talk about tonight? I don't want to deter you, get you detoured anymore, but what are y'all going to talk about tonight on RBN?
Oh, I'm going to be talking with a guest called Dr. Dean Lloyd, about frequencies and to do with music, but also to do with healing. That's in a nutshell what it's going to be about. It's on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which is at republicbroadcasting.org, and listen live at 5 p.m. Pacific or 8 p.m. Eastern. So after Eddie's last hour, there's one more hour in between, and then I come on.
That's a great pub. You're in there with some great veterans like, I got to shut up, Inspector Rothstein, Officer Jack McLown, Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz, on and on from RBN. But anyway, I was shut up. I just want people to know that how they could listen to your program, Sister Monica.
Yeah,
so go ahead, Sister
thank
Monica.
Thank you for that. Okay,
yes,
so I'll just talk about this. What happened next, and you can read the article, get more details, but what I observed happened then after this angry man accosted me, and he was the one who was really yelling in my face and demanding, like, you know, an answer to, you think that our ancestors are all lying? They are all liars. Are you calling them liars? Like, he was really quite venomous towards me, but we just want some evidence, right? Anyway, then after a while, I noticed that this first man, the friendly guy, was still there. I kind of had forgotten about him because I was absorbed with this angry man, with his behavior that was taking all my focus. But then I look over and there he is, this other man is standing there, and the look on his face was rather, how shall we say, he was disconcerted. Like he was not hostile at all. He was just kind of puzzled and worried and looking very disconcerted, discombobulated. And I then said to the angry man, I said, this man over here, he liked my sign. He was very friendly to me. He was not hostile at all. And then at that moment, the guy who was originally friendly, he then said, well, I didn't know that this is how you meant it, like what you meant. And I couldn't get out of him what he meant by that. He couldn't really explain anything. He was just very confused. And what I witnessed there is really, really important.
Yes.
It is peer pressure. Peer pressure. Now, he was now, of course, siding with the Indian man, because that's his tribe. And so he's siding with him, and suddenly but I think this was going to be bad. When we have two conflicting things in our head, there's an expression
for it. Cognitive dissonance.
Yes. Thank you. I just couldn't think of it. Cognitive dissonance. And he was probably going to suffer with that now. Okay. But
yes,
what I want to bring us back to these truth and reconciliation years of gathering testimony in front of the entranceway at each location that they set up during the course of those 6 years or 7 years that they were gathering these testimonies. They had a big sign with a lot of stuff written on that big sign. And by the time you would finish reading that sign, even if you had a completely neutral or, heaven forbid, a positive memory or impression of the Indian residential schools, you would by now, after reading the sign, know, I'm putting that in quotation marks, or you would feel or think or have a gut, you know, whatever, you'd have a memory maybe installed into you that these were actually really bad places, because these signs were not neutral. It was not just saying, okay, the residential schools were in existence such and such, and we're interested in hearing your stories. We'd love to hear your testimony, good, bad, or ugly, right? But nothing of the sort like that. It was already setting the stage to be. So back to this man who was so influenced by this angry man, and suddenly this friendly man, he doesn't know what to do with that. He's very confused, but of course he's going to side with his tribesmen. Now, within my article, I put a link to a very good video that goes into reference material that explains about the UNDRIP, which is the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And it does talk about that sign as well that was at the entranceway of all these testimonial gathering sessions, the Truth and Reconciliation Report. And it was just fascinating for me because I witnessed how the peer pressure has its effect on our feelings, our memories, our impressions, our how we are going to behave, all of that. So there you go. That was super interesting. I've had pushback afterwards from this event. The son of that angry man He moved here not too long ago, like recently, and that's a whole nother story. I won't get into the detail, but he put up a post on the Facebook, the local discussion board of this little town. And then there were a bunch of commenters in his post. You know, he puts a bunch of distortions and lies and kind of crazy stuff, but it was meant to make a story about what I had done and that this was such an evil thing, right? And then the commenters were 95% poison against me. It was unbelievable. But what it did, it kind of revealed some folks around here who, you know, where they're at. There were some in defense of, you know, that we should be able to ask for evidence. We should be able to ask questions. We should be able to do a you know, peaceful protest, whatever. Like, there were some that I clearly were in favor of me. Well, one guy, he said, oh yeah, that ground penetrating radar, it is evidence. And I think he just made a fool of himself. I mean, I know that man who said that, and he made a fool of himself. And then there was another commenter that said, no. So, you know, there's been some, like, some people feel that, oh, I've stirred the pot here locally, but you know what? Maybe we need to stir the pot even in a nice little peaceful place, thinking that, oh, well, it'll never reach us here. Well, no, sorry to say, but it is reaching us here. Like, the replacement is happening fast and furious, even in this little mountain town where I live. You know, the East Indians now, we're talking East Indians, you know, they own the hotel space. Ironically, I had one guy there who was a white man, and he wasn't unfriendly to me. He was friendly and, you know, totally supporting my right to be there. But he also said, oh, you should think about this, might affect tourism. And I said, oh, well, maybe a little controversy will bring more tourists, sort of in a joking manner. But, you know, he says, well, there's, you know, they're filling up all these hotels and lots of money being spent. And then I thought about that later, and I thought, you know, some town folks that I talked to, they didn't even know about this event happening. And this is a small town. And if you have 200 people coming from abroad and filling up a bunch of your hotel rooms, you think you would hear about it, but we didn't. Yes. And these hotels, they're owned by the, you know, the Dot Indians, the East Indians. So that money is not reaching our people anyway. You know, so that's a moot argument there. And then we weren't invited to this event. The locals weren't invited. What did it have to do with our community? Nothing.
You know, Sister Monica, I think one of the of all the great points you've made, one point that resonates with me is that man who was friendly to you, but when this the slightest amount of controversy or pressure put on him, he folded like a wet washcloth. And that goes back to my prayer. I would say I would be willing to bet you that it wasn't confusion. I think it was just a lack of courage, just a cowardly nature. And we see that in so many men. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that when he came to the West years and years ago. He said what stood out, and I'll just kind of add in brackets my comment, it stood out like a Roman candle going off in a dark and coal mine, that he said that when he gave his speech at the University of Chicago, that the thing that stood out most was the lack of courage of Western men. The Western men have just no courage. I don't know, we've been so feminized, but I would say that until we can get that courage, nothing is going to be done. We're never going to be able to reverse the wrongs that are being done against us in the ongoing program of genocide. And it keeps harkening back. The pressure they put on you to shut the hell up about these fake Indian graves. It's just, it goes right back to what we've always said, the greatest lie of all. I like to hammer that, the so-called Hola hoax. It's the greatest lie in history. All these lies are used as clubs against white people. And Sister Monica, I could not be more proud of you for doing what you did. You've inspired me. And I hope you've inspired the other listeners to this program. I mean, go out and do any kind of a protest, just do anything to get started, to get you a little, I'm talking about our audience, our listeners, do any kind of little protest, anything, leave a pamphlet on a windshield.
Yeah, exactly, Eddie. And you know,
go ahead,
sorry to interrupt, but I know we're running almost out, but another idea, and this is happening in Canada a lot, to do with the Dot Indians and immigration. People are going out doing a very fast action. They're filming it and putting it online, and then it has a huge reach. And also they can't be, you know, gotten down with the Antifa stuff, you know. So people are doing spontaneous things. It's great.
Hit and run. So, hit and run. That's what I do.
Lots of ideas. So thank you very much for having me on. I guess we're going out now, and all the best in your next 2 hours.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For coming on.
All right.
God bless you.
You're so welcome.
We'll stay in touch.
All right.
Thank you.
Sorry,
so
I was. Yeah, I hope my sound is okay. All right. Bye bye.
You did great. You sounded great. Dear Blood River Radio family, I surely enjoyed that hour with Sister Monica. We're transitioning to the second hour now. We're going to pick up Don Walthorn, the one and only Don Walthorn, and the one and only Paul Fromm. So you got about 4 minutes to get some coffee, but don't be late getting back.